Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
You recycle it or I will, but either way, nobody wants this.
So I guess no one's actually reading the cruddy books I was putting in.
You know what you are? You're the equivalent of the person who, when the Cub Scouts come around and collect canned goods, you dig in the back of the pantry.
Here's the dried milk or whatever.
Yeah, here's the creamed corn. Yeah. Here you go, kids. That'll help somebody. No, thank you.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Back to court today in New York in the Donald Trump hush money Stormy Davis fraud case. Closing arguments, Vince.
Daniels.
What did I say?
Stormy Davis.
Oh, Stormy Daniels.
Is there someone else? Is there anyone? That's fine. I'll let you tell it.
I went to school with Stormy Davis. I'm just kidding. I did that. Closing arguments, which some had thought would come today, won't happen until next week.
Yeah, we were told to be prepared. Yeah. The attorneys were told, be prepared to maybe make your closing statements today.
More on that in a second. But first, what happened Monday? One veteran trial attorney telling CNN she's never seen anything like this ever before. Tense moments inside the courtroom. A jury hearing the case brought against former President Donald Trump. The judge took issue with some of the mumblings by one of the defense witnesses, Bob Costello, who is a lawyer by trade. He and Cohen have had a back and forth, so they wanted him up there to kind of help discredit more of the Cohen testimony. And they really went at each other because Costello kept muttering and talking during the trial.
The judge taking serious issue with the conduct from Bob Costello, who sort of was muttering under his breath repeatedly as multiple objections about his testimony from prosecutors were being sustained. You could hear him saying into the microphone the words ridiculous, geez. He let out a deep sigh when Judge Mershon sustained another objection.
That's ABC's Olivia Rubin. At one point, he even said, talk into the mic, please. To the prosecutor when she was asking him a question. The judge clearly got frustrated and actually cleared the jury so he could scold him.
Just as Mershon was going to get the jury back, Costello was still looking at him, and you heard Mershon say, are you staring me down? A furious Mershon said, clear the courtroom, and all of the press was brought out. Donald Trump stayed, and it was off the record. We could not hear what he said, but you'd have to think he admonished Costello.
Yeah, he cleared everybody out of the courtroom and let him have it. So now, back in court today, Costello back on the stand, and we won't have a closing argument today because the judge is concerned that by the time they would go through instructions and whatnot, you're already not in class, so to speak, tomorrow. They don't
They've been taking Wednesdays off.
Yeah, and then you have Memorial Day weekend, does not want a long day of closing arguments, and then, okay, we'll see you Tuesday, you know what I mean? Because you got this long break here. If you go
also don't want, I would guess, to give this jury this case and have any influence of
rushing.
Hey, we got to get out of here. You know, we're going upstate or whatever. You know, got to get this thing done.
Right. Be back at it today. Closing arguments set for next week.
7:15 Sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Brewers in Miami for their second game of this series with the Marlins. It was entertaining Monday night. Kind of had all the makings of what you might see in a little league game. I won't bury the lead here.
That's exactly what it was.
Right? Brewers lost in 10 innings. 3-2 was the final. But there are a number of plays that really stand out that you might ordinarily see on a Thursday night at the Sandlot. Let's start with this.
And 0-1. In there with a strike. Yelich trying to steal home. Here's the throw to the plate. He's safe! Oh, and the throwback. Yelich sprinted home. And the Brewers take a 2-0 lead.
Lane Grindle on the call right here. So Yelich's cool. On third. That's awesome. And he stole home.
Yep.
Not like on the pitch or whatever. It was the throw back after
he lollygagged. The catcher lollygagged the back.
And I don't know if they kind of knew, does he normally do that? Is he not? Doesn't he not snap that ball right back to the pitcher? So he kind of out there, he's making eye contact with the pitcher. They're having, you know, like, hey, yeah, it was a great pitch. Okay. Sort of lobs one on over, and Yelich's like, I'm gone.
Yep.
And he made it.
And you'll see that at the Little League field for sure.
Sure, right. Some kid steals
home.
Oh,
yeah. All the time.
He's a really good baseball player.
That was manager Pat Murphy's reaction to that play. So, top of the ninth, let's fast forward. The Brewers are up, and it looks like they're going to add an insurance run.
1-1. Bowers rips one down the right field line. That's a fair ball. It'll roll all the way into the corner. Off to the races for Monasterio. He's around third. He's headed for home. He will score. Arms are up, saying the ball went out of play. Will they put Monasterio back at third? I think they're gonna.
And they did. So what had happened was the ball got caught under the fence in the outfield. For sure, Monasterio was scoring all day. But it is what it is. It's a ground rule double. So by rule, he has to go back to third, even though clearly he would have scored.
Hey, guys, sorry about that. Yeah. Ball ended up in the tall grass, marshy area.
Yes.
Hands up, really. Up the ball's in the grassy area.
It's lost here in the vines.
Can't get it out of there.
Whatever. So, all right. Nonetheless, the Brewers still up 2-1, and they've got the Marlins down to their last strike in the bottom of the ninth.
The 1-1 delivery. Hit in the air. Shallow right field. This is going to be trouble. Long run for Churio. He has to let it drop. Around third, and scoring is Gordon, and the Marlins have tied this game at 2. That ball was not hit hard at all.
So...
that's when you want little 9-year-old Jackson to die for that ball?
Yeah, I think.
Charge the ball, Jackson!
Lay out for one! Get dirty! Some debate as to whether or not Churio should have laid out. Could he have dove and made a play on it? Manager Pat Murphy on that said he didn't see it, actually, in real time and needs to look at the replay.
He's a 20-year-old kid trying to do what he thinks he needs to do, so I'm sure he'll learn from it. If it was a ball that he could have laid out for, I'm sure he'll learn from it.
So we'll ask the skipper about that. He joins us live on Brewers 360 at 7:45. Same two teams tonight, Brewers and Marlins, right here on 620 WTMJ with a 5:40 first pitch in Miami.
It's like rain.
57 degrees right now at 7:23 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Bringing in Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky live on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline. This morning, chance for severe weather this afternoon, or I'm sorry, we're looking at like early this evening, right, Niz, for the timing on this?
Yeah. So some changes from last night when I was on in the evening, and looking at some stuff this morning, and I'm sure Tyler Moore outlined it as well on news today. But there was looking more like last night that we would get, like even here in Milwaukee, we would get some of these initial rounds possibly clipping us, like early in the day today and into this afternoon. Now it's really looking like this afternoon rounds and whatever could come in earlier is going to go to the northwest of us. Maybe still like Dodge County and Fond du Lac gets clipped with it, but here in Milwaukee, we're going to be dry through most of the day. We're looking at our timing for most of southeastern Wisconsin to have a line of storms move in between like 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock this evening. So, it's looking like a squall line type scenario that will first hit our western spots during that 8 o'clock time frame and then making it to the lakeshore by 11.
And Tyler was saying this morning, and I imagine you concur, on the front end of that, Niz, the main thing that we're going to be looking for is, outside of some isolated tornadoes, these straight line winds that are going to be in the leading edge of this.
Yeah, 100%. So when you hear the risks, you know, you see the Storm Prediction Center risks. We're into the enhanced category, 3 of 5. 4 or 5 to the southwest of us. This is as high as we've been so far this season. So this is our greatest severe risk setup overall. And the one ingredient, when we look at all sorts of different ingredients, sometimes there's ingredients that you think, ooh, this could spawn a tornado, and we could get an isolated tornado. Or there's ingredients that conduce big hail. But what we have today is what we have is what's called like a lower level jet. What basically happens, you know, the jet stream that's high up in the atmosphere, pieces of that work down closer to the surface. So just above the surface without thunderstorms, there's going to be winds that are 60, 70 miles per hour that's not even attributed to any thunderstorm. Then what happens with the thunderstorms is you get the downdrafts and it pulls that wind down towards the surface. So with this line of storms, basically what you already have outside of a storm is 60, 70 mile per hour energy that the storm could easily grab from. So straight line winds is definitely the primary threat with it this evening.
I guess the best news, if there is any good news, Brian, is that due to the recipe that we're looking at and due to the conditions and what you just mentioned, that we have a pretty good idea of when this is going to happen and how bad it could possibly be.
Absolutely. The timing of the main event line has been very, very consistent with the computer models. Now, one thing that I'm noticing this morning, I got to dive into maybe exactly what's happening. Maybe they're just a couple crappy computer model runs. But not only have the computer models keeping today's stuff to the northwest, but also the main line of storms this evening doesn't look quite as potent. It doesn't look to be as strong as what I was looking at last night. Now, there could be a reason for this I have to dive into. One of the reasons that I'm looking at here is, look at it outside. It's gloomy. It's cool. It's foggy. There's a chance that the models are picking up on that the air is going to be a lot more stable here in southeastern Wisconsin because of that wind off of the lake. This happens many, many times. I don't want people to put their guard down, but the most recent data we're getting right here doesn't look to be as bad as what I was seeing last night, but that could quickly change. That could all of a sudden, you get enough of a south wind versus an east wind, and then all of a sudden we're back to here we go. Definitely still a big potential this evening, but starting to see a few signs that maybe it won't be quite as bad.
Big day ahead for you and Storm Team 4, and it is appreciated. I know we're going to lean on you today for constant updates, so thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Hey, wish me luck. I got the Voice finale on tonight right during the time frame.
Oh, no. Phones are going to be ringing. Why don't you people
we'll see how that balance goes. See you guys.
Take care. Oh, man. It's tough whoever's at the assignment desk answering the phone tonight. Yes. No, we know, sir. Yep. No, we'll replay it at another time. At 7:42, we got Brewers 360 coming up in minutes with the manager of your Milwaukee Brewers, Pat Murphy. That church story stands out to me. Three churches coming together in West Allis. And this after the news story mentioned St. Bernard announced its closing. Yeah. They're going over to Christ King. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
With TOSA? And I, you know, applaud the Archdiocese and the others involved for trying to stay on top of this so that you don't have these churches falling into further financial trouble, and you want to keep offering that for Catholics in the area. That said, it's, you know, it's not a great sign that they need to do this.
It's interesting. My kid just was confirmed couple of weeks ago, and there were like 85 of those kids being confirmed. And it was the longest service I've ever been in my life.
You'd like to split that up a little bit, right?
Well, I guess
confirmation class of 10 would be a little bit more palatable.
Clearly, there's still some participation or at least some interest in being part of the church, at least. Otherwise, why would you go do that?
I mean, I think everything's different now. People are willing to drive to things, whatever. But, you know, the days of being able to walk to church for sure, no matter where you were, no matter where you lived, are limited at best as more and more churches are forced to combine in order to stay afloat. 7:43, we've got Brewers 360 coming up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Admirals even the series. They go to Michigan now. They're playing the Grand Rapids Griffins in their second round Calder Cup playoff series. And it's one apiece now after a 5-2 win at UWM Panther Arena. So Admirals play next on Friday against the Griffins. And the Brewers lost 3-2 in 10 innings to the Marlins. Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive. And on Tuesdays, we got the skipper, Brewers manager Pat Murphy, joining us live this morning. What's up, Murph?
How you doing?
Okay, man, so many things to get to about last night's game in and of itself. I want to start with Yelly stealing home. And
that was awesome.
My first question is that something that was on your radar? Is that something that was talked about because of how the catcher delivers the ball back to the pitcher?
Lollipopping it back.
Kind of lollipopping it back, maybe not paying attention. Or did Yelly just see something and make a play?
Well, it's all Yelly, for one. The scouting team obviously notices things like that, but Yelly was the one that picked up on it and reacted. It's an instinctive play. It's right now. You've got to make that decision. You can't consider a bunch of factors. And it's special when you can make an instinctive play like that and have the guts to do it. But that's what it's about.
Well, now, Murph, now let me ask you this. If he gets caught on that, are you reading him the riot act? Like, it's a great play if it works, right?
No. See, that's who we have to become. You know, you guys know what we lost out of last year. You know, there's no Burns, there's no Woodruff. Now there's no Miley. We've had a number of other injuries. Obviously, Devin is out. When you lose all that, you don't necessarily replace it with big money free agents, whatever. You lose all that. And you have all those injuries. You've got to play with some freedom. And Yelly's doing that. And a guy makes an aggressive mistake like that with two outs. That's how you play the game.
What do you make of the Jackson Churio let up, if you will? There is an opportunity maybe late in the game to save a run with like a diving catch. You think he could have laid out for that pop fly?
Well, he certainly could have laid out, and that could have lost us the game. The ball could have got by, sure. and whatever. But, that's player decision, and you don't ever question a player. It's not lack of effort on Jackson Churio. If anybody who knows him or plays with him knows there's not a lack of effort. It's certainly, a decision he made. I don't think it's an easy catch. That's certain. I don't think it's an easy catch whatsoever. Dives, whatever. It didn't lose us the game. It put them back in the game. But again, those are instinctive young decisions that he'll learn from if he'll do it differently. I haven't seen it from all angles. It's something that it's disappointing that he didn't make the play if it was possibly be made, but I'm not sure it could have been made.
Would have been a spectacular catch if he had. Right. So no question about that. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on the line with us this morning. Okay, Murph, I know you don't like to curse the baseball gods, but again, we lose a starter. One inning in, Joe Ross, I guess you had said yesterday that he had alerted you before the game that he wasn't exactly right. He gave it a go, so you give him credit for that. But to lose another starter, what's the decision-making process there? And then what does his long-term future look like here?
Well, I think he's going to be fine. It's something that has nagged him a little bit in the last couple weeks. He's got a sore back, and they checked it thoroughly, assured us it wasn't any disc. Assured us that it was muscular, and he woke up the last time he pitched, he woke up, I felt pretty good and gave us a good outing. And then yesterday woke up, said, yeah, I felt it this morning after his bullpen. He alerted us, hey, I feel pretty good. But then he had to plant and break to third base to back up a play after a base hit. And he felt it then. And the last few pitches of the inning, the velo was down, but you could tell he wasn't getting great extension. He came off after the first inning and said, I'm hurting pretty good. And we felt it was best to get him out of there after a check after the game. Feels like he's going to recover fine. As it looks right now, our training staff and medical staff feel like he's going to be fine in time, but we'll most likely put him on the IL, and then he will, the job that the front office has done is acquiring depth in a year like this was crucial. It doesn't show up every year, but they've acquired guys that are capable backups, and we'll just keep going to the well. It's amazing what this club's done. I think people realize, and I know we inside the clubhouse realize how these guys compete every night. It's incredible. I mean, we're now going to use probably our 11th or 12th starting pitcher already in the first third of the season. It's amazing that they've kept their head above water.
So, Skip, you guys are in South Florida, and we've heard over the years that pro athletes sometimes can come down with the Miami flu when they're in South Florida, where, maybe they spend a little too much time out late or whatnot. Is there ever any mention to the young club, hey, you don't enjoy the nightlife
this is a real
much?
Cool town.
Well, I'll tell you this. I tell people this a lot. I've been in baseball a lot of years. I've been in the major league for 10, so... the perception and the reality is pretty different. These guys care at an amazing rate. I mean, they care, and they don't do anything to put themselves in jeopardy. And everything they do is documented these days with social media and everything else. So, and the type of people they are. I mean, that's the fallacy out there that, we want to live through when 30 years ago when things were going on the way they are. But the guys are pretty, pretty committed. They know what's at stake. They're pretty committed to what's going on. And they know there's replacements right around the corner. So They don't risk not being in shape, not being ready. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to hear people make up the stories, whatever, but they're pretty straight-laced.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy with us on Brewers 360. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, 5:40 first pitch tonight in Miami, ahead of in front of several dozen fans. Boy, that place draws is terrible. Come on, Miami.
She will build again. Hear the story on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. You know those little libraries that you'll see in different neighborhoods on the corner of a street in an intersection, perhaps sometimes, where it's like it's a walk-up library, so it's a little contraption. It's maybe, I don't know, 3 feet by 3 feet, if that.
Like an elevated cabinet of sorts.
Yes.
And people throw books in there for other people to take and whatever. When I lived in Bayview, there was one on my block. Yeah,
we got some in our neighborhood as well. I love these things. Anyway, there was one near 10th and Atkinson. It was a pink library, and it was destroyed.
That thing really meant a lot to me on so many levels. An honor to my grandparents. I'm truly heartbroken, but I appreciate the amount of support.
That's Nicole Goen. She was on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. She spoke with Julia Fellow about it. She said that someone's, like, three people showed up and, like, just tore it apart with their hands. A witness said they saw them. Like,
that's terrible. So vandalism.
Vandalism. Anyway.
Senseless.
Yeah. So she was on just talking about it. She had built it for her grandparents. She's going to put up another one.
Supply that same little free library with books for that same community. And then I'm looking to expand in other underserved and underprivileged areas so that we can continue to promote the importance of reading so that all kids, all adults, can build sustainable futures and lives. Because without reading, we all know that you can't go anywhere in life without it.
So true. We love these things when we were little, too. If we knew where they were, or when my kids were tiny, if we knew a spot, or if we were visiting someone and we knew that there was one, we'd walk over there and take a gander, see what kind of books were in there.
You've mentioned to me that you also put some books in there in your day, did you not?
So, yeah. So some friends of ours down the street have one in their yard. And occasionally when I'm walking the dog, if I have these old books that are kind of obsolete, like on things that like you'd never need to read about now, like... You know, obviously, we don't need all these books.
Or you've already read them.
Yes, right. Some of them are kind of, you know, garbagey books. I'm like, oh, I'm going to throw them in the old library because they always are gone. And the next time I look in there, they're not in there. So a couple months ago, we're trying to figure out what to do with some books. And my son's like, I don't know what to do with this dictionary. I don't need a dictionary. I'm like, I'll grab it. I'll throw it in the library down the street and someone will take care of it. And Angie looks at me. She goes, Eric, she purges through those books. It's not like people are taking those cruddy books you're leaving in there.
So, oh, you thought you were curating a fine collection here.
I thought
in
when
the neighborhood library. Yes. Hey, they really like Eric's greatest hits.
Some of them were like so dated and obsolete. I put them in there. I'm like, hey, they're gone the next time.
Folks, I'm glad someone's enjoying
this.
So
I was going to throw a dictionary. I'm like, someone will enjoy the dictionary. She's like, no, Beth takes those out. She purges it.
You recycle it or I will. But either way, nobody wants this.
So I guess no one's actually reading the cruddy books I was putting in there.
You know what? You know what you are? You're the equivalent of the person who, when the Cub Scouts come around and collect canned goods, you dig in the back of the pantry.
Here's the dried milk or whatever.
Yeah, here's the creamed corn. Yeah. Here you go, kids. That'll help somebody. Right. No, thank you. Look, Pancake. Eric got himself like a DJ that everybody loved his music.
Yeah.
Or the video store, Eric's Picks. Hey, they're all gone. He thought he was really onto something.
Everyone likes my books, I thought.
I got great taste. These folks are lucky I live in this neighborhood. You're welcome.
I should leave little notes, suggestions, book lists.
Something else you might like.